Hey everybody, my name is Austin.
I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Colton.
And we're three close friends who have a desire to share our lives, experiences, and our pursuit of Christ, all from a biblical perspective.
You're listening to the Exiles Podcast. Let's talk about it.
And we're back.
I have a question for you.
Like a real question for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened on the spillway this morning?
Man, when I get to driving with my windows down and I'm listening to Hamilton soundtrack, I just kind of lose track on what's around me. And so I get to seeing there's a couple cars in front of me on the right lane. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to sit behind these guys. So what do? I get in the left lane. I'm blasting Alexander Hamilton. And as I'm passing two of the cars, man, I see a state trooper in front of me. And I look down, I'm going 70 on the spillway. And I'm like, I've got to just do it now. And so I slow down to about 65. And as I pass him, he just slowly gets over. And I'm like, that's it. Blue lighted me, pulled me over. This is the first cop I've seen on the spillway in probably 8 months, right? Like, I never see cops on the spillway.
Jonathan, I love how he said, I just had to go. I had to just go with it. Like, he was about to take off, and so I slowed down to 65.
Well, I mean, like, I couldn't just slam on the brakes at this point, right? Like, then the guy would have really known. You know what I mean? So I get a ticket. I got a ticket for speeding, and unfortunately, I also have a very out of date license tag, license plate. So I got a ticket for that as well. So, if there are any listeners out there in Rankin County and you think you can help me get out of a ticket, that would be mucho appreciated. Please. I really don't want to drop about $500 on tickets in the next month.
You can subscribe and pay for Colton's tickets.
Yeah. Well, you won't actually pay anything. You know? I don't think we'd make money off this thing.
No, we do not. Oh. Well, there goes Maggie.
Oh. So... How? That's life, man. How about you guys? Did you guys get tickets this morning?
No tickets for me.
Well, Jonathan, what's been going on in your life lately?
Oh, man, you know, a little this, a little that. Killing weeds. Hanging out.
Are you the one killing weeds?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I was out there working, sweating. He's in the back office.
Jonathan gave his years of servitude to the weed slaying, bro.
He did.
He is upgraded to a cushiony inside job.
What? I did you a favor of setting a standard that you'll never live up to, so that you know that you'll just never quite be as good as I was.
The good news is that's not the standard I want to live up to.
Jonathan won Employee of the Month 10 times in a row while he was slaying weeds. Did you know that?
That's
no,
right.
We did not. That's right. Is that why you hadn't won it this year? They just gave it to you too much in the past?
They don't give them. Yeah,
they really just cycle through, like, all right, who needs a little pick-me-up this month? Who needs a little boost to feel like they're doing something good, you know? And so
they don't give Employee of the Month to management. So
well, Austin only got Austin only got half Employee of the Month.
Mm-hmm. I had to share it with
Tragic.
So that was the Employees of the Month.
I had to share it with Hunter, who was the other rookie with me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is a, like, hey, we just
we're the dynamic duo. Good. Me and Hunter are the dynamic duo, man. We came in and just righted the ship.
Jay just wants you guys to feel good about yourselves.
Mm-hmm. It is good.
I expect nothing less from a generation who grew up just getting.
We're the same generation.
No, I'm like way older than you.
No, Jonathan is way older than both of us. Hey, wait, aren't you older than Colton?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much older? How old are you?
I'm 28.
And you?
29.
You're not 30?
29?
So much.
That's an inside joke between you and Jonathan.
Oh,
yeah. You wouldn't get it.
I was going to say, I'm completely out of the loop here. Well, good. That brings me to something else that you two share in common. A question that I have for you two that I don't have the experience to answer, but I might be able to throw in some biblical principles maybe here or there, maybe some insights, but this is primarily an episode for you two to answer. So I have this question, and I'm going to read it off, and Jonathan, I'm going to let you start it off, and then Colton, I'm going to let you kind of bounce off your ideas off of Jonathan. How about that?
Sweet.
All right. So, you both have children, and so this is my question. And so, Jonathan, you might have to change the wording of this question to apply more to you in a minute, but how has the Lord used the birth of your child to transform you into more Christ-likeness? And once you answer that question, answer this. How can you love them well after a long day at work?
Mm. Mm. Well, yeah, I've been at this thing for long, you know, 6 long weeks now. So I do think myself to be somewhat of an expert in all things parenthood.
Well, maybe my question to you should be...
Hey, let that man talk.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there he is right there.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, so I'm so new into this thing. I'm not going to say that I've been transformed more into the Christ-likeness just yet. I don't think I've broken over that hump. You know, most of the time, whenever you come across things that, you know, sanctifying you, there's a little bit of a low spot. And then maybe you break over it. You know what I mean? I'm still in the low spot right now. You know, everybody, you talk to everybody that has newborns. And you always, you take their advice and you hear them and you're just like, ah, it can't be that bad. You're a bunch of babies, you know what I mean?
They're the babies.
And then you're talking to somebody and you have a couple different guys that say, you know what? You will never realize how selfish you are until you have a baby. Or you'll never realize how sinful you are until you have a baby. And man, let me tell you, that's the truth. The other day, I got home. This feeds into the second half of your question there. The other day, I got home. I've been tired, stressed out. It's just been kind of a long ride, which everybody says it would be. You know, it's all new. It's all different. Get home, and it was just like I've just been having a rough time keeping my stuff together. Been stressed out, you know, overwhelmed. But then I had a really good day because I got to get out and I got to work and I got to enjoy the company of a fellow coworker. And I was working and I was sweating and I was tired and I just felt good. Those endorphins were flowing, you know. I get home and I'm just like, man, I'm having a good day, you know. And so Kelly was like, hey, she had to go do something. Maybe she had to run to a Kroger or maybe she had to run to her school or something like that. I can't remember what it was. She's like, you mind watching John Anders? I said, well, absolutely. You know, he's all right. I'm not going to lie to you. The second Kelly shuts the door, that little man starts losing his mind for 45 minutes.
That was a really good rendition.
I'm going to tell you the truth, man. I tried rocking him. I tried patting his back. I tried turning him upside down. I tried putting him in his little thing with his music, and I tried doing all this kind of stuff. You know what I mean? All this 45 minutes of just chaos. And let me tell you, I don't know if I've been so mad in the last 10 years. You get away from that, and you're like, that doesn't even make any sense. Why was I so mad? You know, we'll talk about that in a second. But, man, I was just like, shut up, you evil little child. You know what I mean? Just stop crying. There's nothing wrong with you.
I know Jesus never did this.
There's no way, right? Yeah. So 45 minutes into this thing, I'm having a meltdown. I'm like, I was finally having a good day, and now you ruined it, you know? And so I put this little rascal in his stroller, and I push him about 3 times. He calms down, and then all of a sudden, I hear the back door open up. Kelly comes in there, and that little dude was like, nothing ever happened. And I'm like, bro, you're going to stop now? You going to start acting right when your mom gets home? Like, I wasn't doing anything, you know? But that was just one example of like, man, you don't really realize how sinful you are until you're in that thing. And then all I was worried about was my day and how I was feeling and what I wanted to do. And then I didn't want to deal with the screaming baby and how he was affecting me. And I was so mad at him. And then you get away from that and you're like, man, I was mad at a baby. You know, he's just upset, his tummy's probably hurting, and I'm just enraged, like, you're so stupid, you know. And then you get away from that and you're like, man, that really didn't make any sense. You know, so I'm in the sanctificatory process.
Is that a word?
It is now.
What is the definition of sanctificatory?
It's like euphoria of over-sanctification.
Euphoria of over-sanctification.
I'm in the part right now where the Lord's really just
pinpointing,
exposing a lot of sin that I either thought I had dealt with or I didn't know was there. So that's always step one, is knowing that you have a problem. And then admitting that you have a problem and then dealing with it. So the next time that comes up, I'll just think to myself, man, it would be really irrational to be enraged at a baby right now.
Yeah. So I laugh when I hear stories like that because, like, we went to a wedding not too long ago, and we had Naomi. She was She had just turned 4 a couple months earlier. She's almost 5 now. So I guess it was a little bit longer than I thought it was. But all my friends at this wedding from home, people I went to school with, they either have toddlers, they have, you know, 3-month-old, 5-month-olds or whatever, and maybe someone's pregnant or someone's like, oh yeah, we just found out we were pregnant or whatever, and I'm the guy there who's got a 4-year-old toddler who I get to dance with, and I'm, you know, like, she's my little princess, all that good stuff, and like, I just look at everyone and go, you guys have no idea. Like, it's like, I'm at that point where, you know, Austin, before we, I don't know if you were talking about who's the oldest on the podcast, and I'm like, yeah, I know I'm just 28, but I look at all my friends, and they don't have kids, and so, like, in my mind, I just feel way older than I am, because I'm like, oh, you guys, you have it easy. Your life is so, you young bucks, you have no idea. And I remember talking to Jonathan, you know, when he had his kid, like, hey, this is going to happen. And I just remember Jonathan going, yeah, you're right. It's going to happen. It's not that bad. And then to hear stories like this, man, it's just funny because you're right. At the end of the day, I think the infant stage for me, like Jonathan said, showed me how sinful I was and how selfish I was. Because I was the guy who, when people were like, how is it with an infant? How is it with a baby? I'm like, I get it. Like, I get how you get to that headspace at 3 a.m. and your kid won't stop crying and you've done everything you can and they just won't stop. And like, they can't tell you what's wrong and you're deprived of sleep and you just go, there's nothing more important than me right now, right? But now that I've got like a toddler, I've started to really, like, I thought I knew how sinful I was until now I've got a child that talks back to me. And will challenge me at every little intersection in life. And I realize, like, oh, I thought I was sinful then. But, like, now that she can actually reason and she's showing her personality and her sinfulness as well, like, now I really see how sinful I am. Because, like, when she's disobedient or she's done something she's not supposed to or she isn't handling herself well, I immediately put the blame on this 4-year-old, mm-hmm. right, this 5-year-old. And I go, man, it's her sinfulness that's causing her not to obey me, you know, because I've taught her differently. I didn't teach her to do X, Y, and Z. I didn't teach her to do these things that are upsetting me and are wrong. But in reality, like, I've started to realize, like, ooh, I'm seeing myself in my kid, mm-hmm. right? Like, I see my faults. I see my sinfulness. I see my areas that I have to work on, right? There's nothing more humbling than when your kid goes, well, I saw daddy do that. Or you talked about, you know, like when you come home from a long day of work, right? How do you handle being a good father after a long, stressful day at work? And dude, sometimes I get done with work and my job has become infinitely more stressful because I'm working, like I'm trying to coach people, I'm trying to mentor, I'm trying to lead people to build their own business in this career I'm in. And man, I get home and I just don't want to do anything. Like, I just want to be mindless for a little bit and sit on my phone and watch stupid videos or watch some Netflix show that I want to catch up on or whatever. And, man, my kid hasn't seen me all day. Mm-hmm. And all she wants to do is go outside and play with dad. You know, she just wants to ride on her bike and she wants me to chase her around. And I'll be like, can we do that later? And I find myself saying this, like, yeah, we'll do it later. Yeah, we'll do this another time or whatever. And it's really tragic when my kid will say, oh, all you ever do is you sit on your phone. Man, let your 5-year-old tell you, oh, dad, you're always on your phone. And that will gut you. It'll gut you like a pig. And so, like, I've just started to realize that, like, your day, even as a father, like, my whole job right now is to provide for my family. So I get up, I take my kid to school, I spend the whole day trying to earn a living to give them the life that I believe the Lord has for them. And then when I come home, why would I then want to deprive my children or my child of her biggest necessity currently, and that is her father, right, or her parents? And I think of Ephesians where it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Yeah, go ahead.
And like, I think about that mentality of how often do I anger my kid? You know, maybe I joke around with her or whatever, and she gets upset. And I know what buttons to push with my kid. But even outside of that, like, man, even just when she just wants to, dad, I just want to go outside and play with you. and I just kind of push her off to the side, you know, and I'll do that later, right? That's still angering my child. That's upsetting my child. And so I've had to really think about the fact. I've had to switch it where I thought it was all me early and then it would be all her later. But in reality, it's still all me as she grows up. Hmm. You know, it highlights your sin just in an extraordinary way.
I wish now we had like a third and a fourth dad in here. One that has a kid in junior high and high school. One that has a kid that's gone, so that we could hear the wisdom and from them and what they've learned and how the Lord has sanctified them. Because, you know, there's, you know, you get a couple dads in here talking about it, you could really see a lifetime of sanctification happening from, you know, a dad from with a newborn to a dad with a toddler moving up and up. So right now in the stage that you're in, with you being having a newborn and with you having a toddler, what would you say to someone who has a toddler and is struggling raising the kid right now, maybe with disciplinary issues? Or what would you say with parents who are adapting to having a newborn baby in their life and is filled with stress and frustration and anger? How would you encourage them in the Lord to persevere?
I would just say good luck. No, I think what's helped me so far, and I'm still not out of it yet, but I think what has helped me is acknowledging my own sinfulness and really dealing with that and trying to understand what my responsibility is now. You know, the second part of your question there was, how do you love your family when you come home or after a long day of work or whatever? And like, that's a thing, right? Like you go to work and you're tired and you're frustrated and you have things that you deal with, and you come home and you eat supper and then you sit down on the couch and you're just like, you finally feel like you can breathe. Mm. And after doing that for so many years, and then you have a kid, that breath is pretty short. Mm. And so I think for me, acknowledging the fact that, I mean, a lot like marriage, right? Marriage is one of the first big milestones in your life where you really have to die to yourself and put somebody else's wants, needs, desires above yours sometimes. Mm. And so I think for me, just really, like conceptually I understood that, but now practically, kind of in the thick of the business where you're tired and you're exhausted and you're frustrated and all you want to do is do whatever it is that you do to check out and to calm down and to relax, but you just can't do that thing because that wouldn't be loving your child well, and that definitely wouldn't be loving your wife well. Mm-hmm. Like in this season right now, I mean, like, loving my child well is just like making sure he has some food and not slinging him across the room when I get mad at him, you know? Right. So that's how I can love my child right now. But it really, for me, it's about loving my wife right now. And so that's what I'm working on, trying to be a better husband, trying to be a better supporter to her.
Would you say, like, so for me and Anna, we don't have a kid yet, but would you say that there were some habits that you wish you instilled early on, maybe after work, coming home to your wife, that you, before having a child? So there's like nothing like...
Yeah, whenever you come home, when you do whatever you do to relax, don't.
Yeah, so like...
Just don't.
Just, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you just stay wound tight till you go to sleep.
No, like, do you think that there needs to be a practice of,
mm-hmm.
you know, I come home and the first thing I need to think about is not how can I decompress from the day, but how can I serve and love my wife more? Or are you saying like, no, like that's just one of those things you kind of learn to figure out as you have a kid?
Yeah, I think you come home and you think to yourself, all right, I've done my stuff. Man, what would be fun to do right now? And then don't.
Don't. Until everybody's asleep.
That's right.
I think to that fact, I think it's also like me and Lydia, we've had conversations about, our expectations. So expectations. And part of those expectations, I think, has been like, okay, Lydia hasn't been working for the last year. She's been staying at home. And I've really kind of seen her come to a place where she's very, like, she has found her rhythm. And her and Naomi have a rhythm. And sometimes if I come home and mess with that, then, like, you know, now that's when I've hurt the ecosystem that my wife has put in place. So I've actually found that when I come home, I know exactly what my daughter wants to do. She wants to take the dogs outside. She wants to play and pick flowers. She wants to sit in the Eno with Dad. She may want to ride around on her bike and let me chase her. Like, that's it. So I come and do that. And so I immediately have the opportunity to give my wife, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of opportunity just to decompress from having a child all day. Right. And so, like, I think you, part of it is just helping, like, see where your spouse is and then how can I help alleviate that? And also, I've also come to the realization that, like, you know, Jonathan was saying, like, there's some truth, like, whatever you think will make you happy or relax, you know, like, just don't do that. But, like, as your kid grows up, you just start to realize, like, spending time with this bundle of joy, there's a reason the Lord says that children are a blessing, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a joyfulness to get to just hang out with my daughter. Like, at the end of the day, man, there's no, like, my kid is super funny. She's also, like, super smart. So I've had some of my, like, just even at, like, 4, almost 5 years old, man, like, we do catechisms together. We sing, Shy Lynn together. Like, we do Christian Jesus songs, man. Like, I mean, dude, we have a good time. Like, she'll just bust out. She'll bust out in front of people, like, the Books of the Bible song and I'm a Jesus Kid and all these things. And, like, that's just man, it warms my soul to know that the things that I'm doing, she's watching it, she's learning it, she's taking it in. And it's hopefully producing within her a faith that will last throughout the ages, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's how I've just had to switch my time to go, I only have so many moments with my child that will impact her for eternity. Mm-hmm. And I need to take advantage of every single one of them. That's what I've had to do.
I think one thing that both of y'all have shared that I think is a common thread is that you've taken the same order that Paul takes in Ephesians, where Paul addresses the husbands and the wives first, and then later on in Ephesians 6, we see him address fathers, don't provoke your children. And so keeping your wives at a higher priority, to love them, to care for them, that's what I'm hearing from you guys. And then you could love them and care for them by, you know, coming home and taking care of the child, playing with the child, giving them a moment of rest. I can see that scripture thread there, loving your wife, and then later on, not later on, but like in that, in loving your wife, you're taking care of your child well and not provoking them to anger. So
if we weren't doing that, then we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think, and also, I bet Jonathan feels the same way as I do. Like, I try and glean so much from wiser men than me. You know, Jonathan or Austin mentioned he wished we had dads who had, you know, had kids in middle school and high school and stuff like that. But, man, I'm talking to those people every single day. I'm talking to those people every week, you know, like, trying to identify, like, hey, my kid's struggling here, or, hey, you know, how can I love my wife better here? And talking to men who have experienced it, gone through it, all that good stuff. Like, you have to know, you have to realize that, like, you can't do it alone. You know, fathers out there, mothers out there, you can't do it alone. So don't try to. And don't think that your experience is so unique that there's no one out there who can help. Everyone has a kid who has done what Jonathan explained, who's done what my kid has done. And, mm-hmm. and so parents, they've experienced these things, right? Their kids may have different attitudes, or they may have different ways that they communicate, but at the end of the day, they're just as sinful, and their parents are just as sinful. So you got to realize that, like, hey, I can talk to people about this because they've gone through it as well.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking too, as far as encouragement, was just ask for help. Yeah. First of all, ask for help from the Lord, because you need it. The Lord gives grace. The Lord strengthens the weak. You need that. And so ask for that. He's able to do that. But also, community is a big thing. And so, like, you have brothers and sisters around, you have friends and family who've gone through the same things. And so talk to them about it. Ask them how to do this, how to help with these things. Because a lot of the things, just, I mean, the first few weeks, it's also new. And so, like, there's so many things that we just don't know about having a baby. And so we've had to ask so many questions about so many different things. Like, how do you take care of this thing? Like, what do you do when he's crying? What do you do when he's fussy, you know? And so don't be prideful, but ask for help.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for us. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at The Exiles Pod, as well as private message us any question you may want answered. You can also contact us with your questions by emailing us at theexilespod@gmail.com. We have a new podcast every Tuesday. And before you exit off, be sure to leave a review, give us a like, and share this episode with friends. And until next time, peace.